From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Class of 2016, congratulations. Well done. Now, have you got a job? College grads fresh out of school are on the hunt. Some are all set. Many are not. Record student debt and a labor market that has not fully recovered can pose a daunting picture. But there are jobs, too. It's been looking up. This hour on Point, we'll look at who's hiring, starting salaries, and strategies for landing that first job. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Class of 2016, what's your plan, your approach, your situation? What have you found in the job market? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Some all set. Here's a University of Southern California student graduating this year, has a job lined up at Elon Musk's cutting-edge aerospace engineering company, SpaceX.
I will be a Dragon propulsion engineer for SpaceX, so building and testing rocket engines for their spaceship to go to the space station and to Mars.
Others, well, not so simple. Here's Megan Tan out of Western Kentucky University. She talked with for the podcast Millennial last year, describing her job prospects post-graduation, and this will sound familiar to many recent graduates.
When my friends from college ask what I'm up to, I don't usually tell them I'm filling out job applications to work at Whole Foods or interviewing at temp agencies. I usually say something like, I'm figuring it out, or I'm looking at my options. But what I really mean is that there's a huge gap between where I am and where I want to be.
There you go. Flying to Mars or working at checkout counter and all the range in between. We're looking at the class of 2016 and finding those jobs. With me first today from Crystal City, Virginia, is Jeff Salingo, author of There Is Life After College, columnist writing on starting careers for The Washington Post, former editor of The Chronicle of Higher Education. Jeff Salingo, welcome back to On Point.
Thanks, Tom.
So I'm seeing all kinds of headlines here. College grads enjoy the best job market in years, says CNBC. But then right alongside, class of 2016, congrats, you're the most indebted yet. How's it look out there this year, Jeff?
Well, it's definitely a mixed bag. It's much better than it was for college graduates a couple of years ago, where the unemployment rate was pretty high, and now it's closer to 2% for recent college graduates. But the problem is that for many students, they're underemployed. So the Federal Reserve tells us that nearly half of recent college graduates are underemployed, meaning they're in jobs that don't require a bachelor's degree, like the person, working the checkout counter at Whole Foods. And what ends up happening is, because of the debt issue, average debt of the class of 2016 will be around $37,000. What ends up happening is that many students end up picking a job or have to take any job just to pay that off that debt, and they get stuck in these jobs, whether they're nannies or working the checkout counter or, a barista at Starbucks, and they think they're going to do it for 6 months, and then it turns into a year or 2 years later, and they're still in those jobs.
I'm looking here at an employment study from Accenture. It says that 21% of the class of 2016 accepted a job before graduation. That's up from 12% last year, 11% 2 years ago. That's a pretty good chunk. I mean, that's one in five who's all set before they ever walk, Jeff.
Well, that's actually a big trend, and probably most of those students are getting jobs from internships. I mean, the big aha moment in my book was that over the last couple of years, there's really been a big shift in how employers hire new college graduates. They're not as likely anymore to go on campus, first or second semester of somebody's senior year and hire them, based on a job fair or a resume into a full-time job. Increasingly, I'm hearing from career center directors at colleges large and small across the country that they want to hire students as sophomores or juniors as interns. They want to kind of try them out before they buy them. They want to make sure that they have the skill sets, particularly those soft skills that don't show up on a transcript or a resume. And then what ends up happening is after the summer, particularly before their senior year, if they're successful, they'll offer them a full-time job to start after graduation. So many students actually do end up with full-time jobs before graduation, but most of them, it's because of their internships.
I want to speak directly to members of the class of 2016, and they're calling in right now. Jeff Salingo, stand by there in Virginia. John in Canton, Ohio. John, thank you for calling. What do you know?
Sorry?
Hello, John. You're on the air. What's your story?
Oh, hi. Oh, this is my story. Yeah. So right now I'm actually looking for a job. I'm about to head over to an interview right now.
Great.
I was just thinking, it's really hard to go ahead and go, look for a job right now. you know, and it kind of feels really weird when I go out and try to look for a job, because it's like all my colleagues, they all have their jobs already. We had like a small graduating class. It was like about like seven. And so like, that's just like only us, like they all have jobs ready. But like me, I'm trying to still look for a job, and it's kind of hard right now.
How did they land their jobs earlier, John? How did that happen? And what's the path you're taking?
I mean, it didn't just happen. You know, they all had their internships lined up, so they've been at their companies for a little bit. They had their connections started. So whereas me, like I had internships, but I changed couple companies, like, you know, a couple times around.
Right.
And so like, it's a little difficult for me because, you know, I don't have the same, I guess, experience when I go to another company. Like, you know, when you go to one company from another company, you know, they have their own specific skills
sure.
at that company that aren't really transferable to from company to company. So it's kind of strange.
Are most of your classmates who have jobs lined up already, did they do internships at a company and now they're full employees? Is that the deal or not?
Yeah, that typically is the deal. Like, I know some of my, like basically they've done like, you know, full rotations. Like they'll stay at that company for the last, like maybe they've kind of been working there for the last like 3 years, like, you know, doing like internships in between like summer and like fall when we get off during the fall. And yeah, they've done their internships there and they've been there for a while. So they're kind of established there because they have the internships and the co-op experience there. And so that's kind of really important, you know, in terms of
sure.
you know, landing a job with the company you want.
John, you've got an engineering degree. What do you want to do with that? What's your ideal?
My idea with corrosion engineering, like there's a big infrastructure problem in the United States, I think. And I'm just trying to like, that's like kind of like what geared me towards that program. And so I'm trying to like, you know, I really want to go ahead and fix like, you know, like our rusting bridges and everything. You know, there's like a lot of lot that can go into that, like with corrosion engineering.
Sure.
And yeah, I mean, that's like what my main thing is to do is like, you know, just kind of fix America's corroding infrastructure.
Bravo. You know, like. We're all for that. How are you living in the meantime before you bag that first job? Are you still at home or with friends or how's it working?
I live with my grandfather. So like, you know, I kind of have to like, you know, he has to support me kind of.
Yep.
I like, you know, I go around doing odd jobs. I kind of like landscaping was like what I'm doing. And I can also like, you know, in the term, like until like I actually find the job that I'm looking for, I'm going to go ahead and like, you know, I'm just going to like, you know, try to like, you know, find like a part-time job. But even then it's really hard because I'm in a situation where, you know, I might have a job within the next 2 weeks. And how do I tell my, like, you know,
yeah.
like, you know, at Whole Foods or something, if I go get a job there, how am I going to tell them, okay, I might stay here for maybe 3 weeks, but once I find the job, I'm leaving. And so it's kind of like, it's a really strange situation, like put me in, like, you know, I don't want to be like, well, you know, like the, you know, my supervisor at like Whole Foods or something would be like, oh, well, we're looking somebody that, you know, could stay for maybe 6 months, not someone who can stay for.
Listen,
maybe
you do what you need to do, John. You got to do what you need to do when you first get out of college. When you get that full-time job, the one you're hoping for, what's the range you hope to make? What do you have in mind?
Well, for a corrosion engineer, I guess because the demand was so high for it, I don't know how many, like, everyone that graduated from my program, like this year, but last year, I think the median salary for corrosion engineers starting was, like, $75,000. And so I'm hoping to get, I mean, about that much, you know, but, you know, it's, like, a lot of, you know, give and take right there, you
sure.
know.
Sure.
But I'm just trying to, like, you know, weigh my decisions right now.
John, I know you're on the way to an interview. You sound great. We wish you all the luck in the world. Thanks very much for calling, and good luck.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Jeff, what about salaries here? I mean, I'm reading that something like, as you were saying, but 50% plus of the graduating classes of 14 and 15 said they're working in a job that don't require a college degree. Even so, average starting salaries were, by one report, just shy of $50,000. By another Federal Reserve report, around $43,000. What do you see?
Well, like your caller there, it depends largely on your major. According to PayScale, the average new college graduate, was about $45,000 last year, but that was, you know, a liberal arts college graduate in the humanities would be in the mid-30s. You know, an engineering graduate would be in the mid-60s or the mid-70s, like your caller was there. In fact, you know, work that Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce has done shows that graduates with the highest-paying majors actually make a couple $1 million more over the course of their lifetime than those with the lowest paying majors. So largely, you know, just having a bachelor's degree is not the ticket to, you know, financial success like it used to be. It matters what you did with that degree while in college. Not only the major, but, you know, as the caller again said, you know, the experiences you had, those internships in particular.
What you did while in college, is that what it's about? Essentially trying out with a company that you want to work for before you ever get there? Or is the value of those internships fungible? Can you take it to another company and say, look what I did, hire me?
Oh, it's definitely fungible. I mean, I think part of the internship is on-the-job learning, you know, not only for the employer, but for the employee. The part of the problem today is that many students have very little access or very little insight into what a job is like. I heard this many times from the students I interviewed for my book. You would come in as a freshman in college, you would have to pick a major, and then 4 years later, you would start applying for jobs, and many of the job titles were like a foreign language to you. You had no idea they even existed, because most students pick jobs or careers that are familiar to them. You know, it's something their parents did or something they see on TV or their neighbor's parents do. You know, most kids have very little exposure to the world of work today. In fact, we're at our lowest level of teenage employment since the 1940s when the federal government started measuring it. So to me, an internship is not only about potentially getting that job after graduation, but it's much more about exploring work and learning about what people do in different jobs.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we are talking about jobs and new college grads. Who's hiring, starting pay, and strategies for landing that first job? You can join us this hour. What about it? Do you have a new diploma? Do you have a job? How'd you find it? What's it pay? Are you just out of college and looking for that job? Where are you looking? How are you looking? What do you hope to find? Jeff Salingo is with us. He was editor of the Chronicle of Higher Education. Columnist now for the Washington Post, writes about all this all the time, and is author of the book, There Is Life After College. Everybody's talking about it in graduation season. Of course, just last month, President Obama gave the commencement speech at Rutgers University, said job prospects for graduates in the audience had improved drastically since he took office.
Meanwhile, in the 8 years since most of you started high school, we're also better off. You and your fellow graduates are entering the job market with better prospects than any time since 2007.
Hey, everything's looking great. On the other hand, here's HBO's Bill Maher talking on his show about the annual spring ritual of inspiring commencement speeches. He said grads should know that they got nothing going on.
Kids, you're not the future. You can't be anything you want to be. And the only way you can follow your dreams wherever they take you is if your dreams involve the grease trap at Chipotle. Your parents just spent $250,000 to send you to drinking camp.
Okay, there's the Bill Maher view. But here's Naomi Outlaw. Got a bachelor's degree in journalism this year from San Francisco State. Talked about the experience of finishing school, facing the job market for KQED's perspectives. Says she's more stressed out than ever right now.
I am up against the odds. Odds I am constantly reminded of when people ask, so what's your plan after you graduate? For the time being, help us college students out by not asking us questions we've already asked ourselves. I guarantee we lose more sleep trying to come up with an answer.
People do find their way. We heard that tape earlier from Megan Tan. She's doing just fine, we're told here online. She's got her own podcast now, Millennial, funding from Radiotopia at PRX, successful entrepreneur. There are many, many ways to skin this cat. Jeff Salingo, please stand by there in Crystal City, Virginia. With us right now as well from East Lansing, Michigan, is Philip Gardner. Phil Gardner, he's director of the Collegiate Employment Research Institute at Michigan State, directs MSU's annual College Labor Market Study. Phil Gardner, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be with you.
What's it look like out there this year, and what sectors are hot?
Well, it looks good. As we've said, this is we've seen three really good years, and so we are seeing a good labor market. And as usual, the sectors that are leading are very technical related, so engineering and things. But the good news is we're seeing a broad across the board. Hiring, there's one or two exceptions. Anything related to oil is down right now, as you would expect, and it's kind of seeping into other sectors of the economy. But on the service side, where a lot of the jobs are, we're seeing pretty strong indications of jobs that's going to cover most all academic majors, with the lead being in engineering, computer science, and those kind of degrees.
I see all kinds of statistics here. One says that the unemployment rate for those over age 25 with a bachelor's degree or higher is now 2.4%, less than half the overall rate of 5%. That's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, that's not right out of college, but that suggests that college degree holders in time find something. I mean, as Jeff has pointed out, it's not necessarily in their field, but 2.4, that's pretty low.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much with historical levels that we've seen. I've been in this for over 30 years, and that's pretty much what we've seen. But what we've seen that's changed so much is for these young people is the transition experience from college to work has become much more volatile and fluid. It's not when when I graduated, you went in and worked for a company forever. We know that's changed. And so it takes students, even engineers, a little bit of time to find stability in the market. And that's upsetting because it looks like they're lost. And some students struggle more than others at this because it's hard to find what you want when the anchors that we've traditionally relied on aren't there for them anymore.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we usually have traditional paths to go down, and they're well-trod, and engineers still have those paths. But in the liberal arts and areas where we used to be able to send them into these general positions have become more confusing because companies just vary where they put people and where they want and just jobs are changing so fast. And so if you don't have a sense of where you want to go and you haven't done what Jeff said, tried out the labor market, you haven't used the engagement part of college, not just the academic part, to figure out what you're bringing to the table and how you fit. Trying to do that after graduation is really hard because then you don't have any of the campus resources or the professionals that are available to you. You can't tap into the resources quickly enough, and you're trying to do it on your own at home, and now you're tapping into resources that are ambiguous, these big deposit, put your resume in, and maybe in some decade from now, you might hear from somebody whether you got a job or not. It becomes hard, and you get discouraged pretty quickly. And the job market has always been discouraging, you've got to have patience, you've got to stay with it, and you've got to take time to reflect and understand your story so you can sell yourself. And this is society now. Everything's down to little tiny bites on social media, and that's not really easy to sell yourself that way.
Yeah, I guess not. David in Norfolk, Virginia. David, what's your story? You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a recent graduate from Old Dominion University, and my degree was in economics, and I pursued the ROTC route, leading to my commission as a naval officer. So I kind of delayed all the dealing with the market things by having my career kind of decided from the get-go.
So have you gone active duty already, David? Do you go straight from graduation straight into service, or how's it work?
Yes, sir. So the same day that you graduate, you sign your oath of office and you're a commissioned officer, and then I'll be heading to my warship pretty soon here.
And what length of service have you committed to as part of ROTC?
Just 5 years with my career path.
How does that feel? Is part of you wishing, boy, I wish I could jump into the economics field right now? Or are you feeling relieved that you don't have to go out and face the job market, that private job market right away?
I'm absolutely relieved. I know many of my peers are struggling to find professional jobs within their degrees. And I've kind of had, I kind of delay that and get to develop myself as a leader and get to serve the United States in that regard.
David, compliments to you. Good luck with it. We wish you luck on that ship and in the career that follows as well. Thanks very much for calling. Jeff Salingo. Jeff's, done ROTC and going right off to his battleship there. For a lot of other people, as Phil Gardner says, you've got this volatile, fluid period that stretched between graduation and stability. Give us a sense of the texture of that these days, Jeff.
I think Phil's point is great. I mean, it's really finding the on-ramp to a career. And so if you don't have a job right after graduation, finding that on-ramp is very difficult for students. And the best thing that they can do is really be kind of job and occupationally what I call footloose, right? So try a lot of things out in their 20s. I think a lot of older adults tell young adults bad advice. I think they say, well, you know, you should stick with a job. I think in your 20s, you should move jobs very often to kind of
Why?
Get a sense of what you want. Well, because for a couple of things, you get a sense of what you want to do. You move faster through your career. It's not that you should be impatient, but you move faster through your career. In the 20s, really are the dress rehearsal for the rest of your life. In other words, if you wander through your 20s and suddenly you're 30 and you're trying to figure out your career, you have lost a very important decade, not only in your earnings, but in career development. So your 20s is a very key period. The other thing that has changed is that there are many more postgraduate options now. You know, Phil was talking about, you know, if you're out of college, you don't have, you know, the professionals to help you out. One of the nice things today is that now they cost money, but there's things like these coding boot camps, the General Assemblies of the world. There's a program that I profile in the book called Koru, which is one of these 2 or 3 week bridge programs that give you real business skills to help you get started in the job market, and they connect you with real employers. You know, these things didn't exist even 5 years ago, and they now exist. Now, again, they cost money, and after you come out of college, $37,000 in debt, and having spent, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, you're probably not going to be very happy spending more money. But again, the more you invest in your human capital in your 20s, the more it's going to pay off in your 30s and 40s.
When you say be footloose in your 20s and kind of hop from job to job, do you mean within one field or all over the place? And with all that jumping around, does some other employer eventually look at you and say, wow, you don't stay anywhere very long?
Well, I think so. Most employers understand that people in their very early in their career are going to move around a lot. When I say a lot, I mean, mm-hmm. you're not every 6 months, but, you know, every
yep.
year to 2 years.
Okay.
You know, yes, if you find the right occupation, you should definitely move sometimes between companies, especially if you see that you're going to be able to advance in your career. But it's almost impossible, given the job market today, to explore every type of career that's out there. As Phil said, there are many more different pathways now after graduation than ever existed before. You can't explore those in 4 years of college. So you need to use part of your 20s to explore. And I think that by moving jobs often, even between occupations, you're going to get settled by the time you're in your mid or late 20s. And you're going to be able to be much further ahead in your career as a result.
I'm going to go in just a second here to Winella Reed at Rutgers. We heard President Obama speaking there, but she's in the middle of career services there. We'll talk about that. Lots of callers for the two of you, though. Miami, Florida, Jalen is calling. Jalen, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's your story, your insight?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I had a quick question. How do we address the socioeconomic issue of people who can't afford to do internships, as we talked about previously?
Because they're unpaid often, you mean?
Right, yes, because I lucked out to where I could do that. I live at home in Miami, Florida, and I'm able to go to multiple internships, but they're about 15 hours a week. So how do we address the issue of people who have to work part-time to be able to live, and they don't have actually the time to do these internships that are so important to getting jobs after college?
It's a great question, and people run up against it all over the place. Phil Gardner, many of these internships do not pay, and yet we're hearing these are the rungs of the ladder that are often now climbed into a job. What if you can't afford to work for free?
Well, you can't afford to work for free. The unpaid internship is a place where we have a lot of contention and discussion about what to do about it.
But you know how many of those are out there.
Yeah, well,
and plenty of families, support their kids while they do them, but not everybody can afford that.
That's right. And well, a lot of families can't even support their son or daughter that are in them because they come from low income families. These
sure.
kids are pursuing degrees that they want in social justice or with certain areas, and they're just not going to have paid internships, and their families can't support them. So the students have to do what the caller said, is they take on a paying job. So now they're working two jobs and going to school at the same time. It begins to be very tense, anxious times for these kids trying to balance all this. And we're trying to find solutions of how to sustain them, whether through stipends or things. And I really wish the federal government in the states would wake up and use work study differently or provide a similar kind of thing, because some of these situations can be helped by having a work, a situation where we could use work study monies in unpaid situations for unpaid internships rather than just for jobs on campus, or come up with something similar to that. So I think there's solutions, but I think it requires everybody be willing to do it. And right now the strategy is just to put all – we know we have to have internships, so we'll put the burden on the student to do it.
And Tom, I think students have to be really careful about unpaid internships, including, you know, according to some studies – your chances of getting a job from an unpaid internship are about half as much as from a paid internship. You really have to make sure what you're going to be doing in that unpaid internship is really worth your time, because, you know, if the employer doesn't value you enough to pay you, that probably the type of work they're going to give you is not high level enough or and of any level that's actually going to be useful to you in the end.
I would disagree with that. We see a lot of really good unpaid internships, and we see a lot of terrible paid internships where employers just take advantage of students. I think you've got what Jeff says is really, really important. Going into any internship, a student has to make sure that the outcome, you know, what they're going to do is going to lead to the outcomes that allow them to advance as professionally enough so they can enter the workforce. Whether it's unpaid or paid, it doesn't make any difference. The student wants to be in a situation where they're going to learn and where they're going to have outcomes, professional outcome, gain professional abilities. And it can come from any type of situation. Both sides, paid and unpaid, take advantage of students.
Yeah,
it's just as simple as that.
Let me go to Rutgers University in Winella Reed. She's Associate Director there for Employer Development at University Career Services at Rutgers. Winella, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So I take it, are you primarily focused on helping students line up jobs before they graduate? Once they're out the door, is your work with them finished?
Well, technically, my work is really employer interfacing. So we have a range of employers from various industries that are seeking to build their brand on campus, which simply means developing their strategy in terms of targeting students who might fit or be appropriate for positions that they currently have available. So one part is developing strategy for employers who already have an interest in our students and our student population. And the other part is driving new business and bringing employers to campus so that they can recruit our students.
But we're looking at it today from a student or a new grad perspective. And from that angle, these are people who would come and be recruiting or advertising, I mean, making known what it is they do, what they're looking for on campus. Do you help them actually make the connection between the student and the company? Do you help them find jobs?
Correct. Holistically, that's what University Career Services does. We have a range of services that instill in students the skill sets that they need to connect with employers who are already on campus.
So it's during school that you help them, and once they're out, you're done with them. They're not part of your world anymore. Okay.
Technically, no, because we do have an office that works with our alumni with regard to the job search process. And here at Rutgers, our alumni still have access to resources that will assist them with the job search. One thing I do want to bring up, though, during the course of the conversation is a lot of students tend to wait until after graduation to look for employment. In many cases, it is late. And as Phil alluded to a bit earlier, you have essentially wasted time and wasted the resources that are available at your school with regards to access to employers who are currently on campus, with regards to the various workshops, information sessions, and on-campus interviews that take place. Part of the issue is that people tend to think they get the degree and then begin the job search, when realistically the job search begins first semester freshman year, but it varies from freshman year to senior year.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we are talking this hour about jobs and new college grads, the class of 2016, looking at who's hiring, starting pay, strategies for landing that first job. Winella Reed is with us from Rutgers University, works in career services there. Phil Gardner is with us from Michigan State. He directs the annual college labor market study there. And Jeff Salinga, Washington Post columnist and author of There Is Life After College, is with us from Virginia. You can join us, Job Hunters. How's it going? Are you wishing you'd taken economics, coding, engineering? In class of 2016, are you ready to take on the world? How is it going? Somebody said that this is a generation that just hasn't known that much work. Many don't, but some certainly do. Joe writes to us on Twitter, I work from 15 on 30 to 40 hours a week. Others just trouble getting that degree finally under their belt, and that can cost them. Andrew writes, former Navy nuclear engineer and satellite system operator, five classes away from a Bachelor of Science, now in apartment maintenance. Here's a listener on the website who's listening to comments so far, and it says, so basically, be an engineer or go to hell. Sounds cool. Is it as stark as that, Phil Gardner?
No, I mean, I always take the position you should be able to major in anything that you want in college. I run up a little opposition on that. But if you're going to come to college and study something, you should really enjoy it. But there's a big if after that. And after that comes to all the things that Jeff and my colleague at Rutgers Winella. Has talked mm-hmm. about. You need to be engaged. You need – it's not just an just taking classes. It's how those classes are feel in the real world, how you – begin to express yourself. And it can start with simple engagement activities. It doesn't have to involve work right away, but you do have to get in that professional environment relatively early. And most of the professional degrees, whether it's nursing or everything, begin to introduce their students very early to what they're going to expect as a professional. They don't always put them in the work environment, but what they expectations are. And often the majority of students, even in business, yeah. don't get those expectations until very, very late, and then it's too hard to adjust. But you can be a philosophy major, you can be an English major, you can be a music major. There are just so many rich opportunities to bring that creativity in, but you've got to build. You can't just come alone. It's got to come on a foundation that you've built with a whole bunch of other things besides the classes or your enthusiasm just to do that. But if you have a interest and you know where you want to go, you have a purpose, employers are going to pick up on that. And then they're going to try to figure out, can that purpose work in our organization? Yep. But if you come in and say, I just want a job, I think I can do these things, boy, you're going to be just going to interview to interview to interview, and it's going to get very frustrating.
Let them feel your purpose. Jeff here, Susie in Newport writes, and she's been listening to your comments this hour, and she asks you this, Jeff. She says, does Salinga then advocate the elimination of humanities degrees? Does he see any value in these kinds of degrees? Is college fully and finally utilitarian about making a paycheck and no longer about cultivating the whole person?
Well, you know, this argument frustrates me. Is college for job training or for broad education? It's not an either-or question. It's both and. And the fact of the matter is that you do need a job after graduation. You know, sleeping down, not having a home and not having a job is not good for anyone. And so it's really the cultivation of both types of skills. I think Phil is absolutely right. Phil is one of the biggest advocates of this idea of the T-shaped individual, meaning that you're both broad across disciplines. And have that broad education that you're the person who wrote to you or wrote mm-hmm. to me said, but you also are deep in one area. And this is really critical. There's just this report out this morning from Burning Glass, which is this company based in Boston, which analyzes job ads. And they found that if liberal arts college graduates had just one or two more small hard skills, meaning, for example, if they had data analytics or management skills, there are hundreds of more thousands of jobs that could be open to them with their liberal arts degree. So having Absolutely. A liberal arts degree is not a bad thing, but you need to have one or two more hard skills in addition to that, which you could, in some cases, get in on your own. And increasingly, a lot of institutions, from liberal arts colleges to major universities, are giving students the opportunity to get those hard skills. And the combination of both, so it's both and, will get you that job.
Be a T-shaped individual. David in Montgomery, Alabama. You're on the air, David. Thanks for calling. Hello, David. Are you there, my friend? Maybe we lost David. Candy in Hampton, Virginia. Candy, you're on.
Hey, Tom. Thanks Hi. For taking my call.
Sure.
Just had an anecdote. It was kind of funny.
Sure.
My father, my stepfather, my husband's dad, when he was at the age to go to college way back when, his parents said, we'll put you through college, but you have to be either a doctor or a lawyer.
Okay,
and
that's it, huh?
He and his brother both became lawyers and eventually became judges in Norfolk. And so when my father-in-law got to the age where he had the capacity to send all of his grandchildren to college,
that's
he jokingly
sweet.
Said, no ologies.
Meaning?
Well, psychology, anything.
No theology, psychology, anthropology. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Be a lawyer, be a doctor, be a scientist, do whatever. But
what about the broad splendor of life represented in those arenas of study, Candy? No dice?
No, none of them did. Well, actually, my daughter, he actually put my daughter through college as well, because we were adopted.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But, yeah, she went through all kinds of crazy stuff.
But no ologies on that free ride. I mean, how wonderful to have a grandpa who can put all the grandkids through college. That's got to be rare, given the debt loads that people are coming out with these days. But, Wanilla Reed, how about it? What kind of firms are most actively coming onto your campus and searching for potential employees? And do they shy away from the ologies, or are they looking broadly?
They're looking broadly. A majority of the companies that are posted on our web career management platform are not major specific. And I want to harken back to what both Jeff and Phil stated, which is you have to develop yourself holistically. As a college student, academics is not sufficient. And employment is not the only way to develop yourself holistically. Employers are also looking for leadership skills on campus. So that means getting involved. They're looking for students who are interested in contributing to the world. So we're talking about volunteer opportunities. They're also looking for students who demonstrate a certain degree or a certain level of professional development. The expectations they have for a freshman are totally different from the expectations they have as a senior year student. There are a variety of employment opportunities that are not degree specific or are not tied to a specific major. So you have various sectors in retail, even sales. I'm surprised that people are not talking about the entrepreneurial skill sets or the ability to generate significant income if you pursue a sales opportunity. Many companies, particularly reputable companies, will pay a base salary with other perks to include a vehicle or a laptop, as well as commission. So there's a variety and a range of opportunities that are available to college students, and they are not necessarily tied to a degree or a specific major.
What have been the fields that have been the companies represented most vigorously looking for students at Rutgers?
So you have always banking, you have retail, and you have sales. So we're talking about financial sales. We're talking about consumer product sales. We're talking about, I would say, banking, retail. So those are some of the sectors that don't want degree, but they want a student who's holistically developed.
Jeff, what are you seeing in terms of sectors that look hot?
Well, there's a number of sectors that are hot right now, including, you know, nonprofits and government and other types of industries. But I do discourage students from trying to figure out what are the sectors that are going to be hot, because they change so much in this dynamic economy. You know, as Phil mentioned about oil, you know, petroleum engineer was one of the most popular jobs just, you know, one
smoking
or two
hot
years
2 years
ago.
Yeah.
Highest paid job, in fact. And so if you're a freshman and you rushed into that, thinking, wow, that's going to be a hot job. Well, now you're going to be sorely disappointed and going to have trouble getting a job. So I think, again, this is why it goes back to, you know, a broad education that provides you with some specific skills. If you don't have both and you're way too narrow in your undergraduate curriculum, if you make the wrong bet, you're going to be in trouble when you graduate.
Gerald in Southwest Ranches, Florida. Gerald, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks, Tom. I wanted to bring up an issue that unfortunately someone beat me to the punch on it. But there's a lot of social economic issues when it comes to free internships that are provided by school, especially for low income families. I mean, like I'm a graduate of 2016.
Okay.
Well, I went through a trade school, of course, and you know, I have a 5-year-old daughter, and you know, even then, like what I'm getting paid right now, even though it is close to a living wage, you know, even between me and the mother of my child, like being able to rent a place is really difficult. I come from an area of privilege, meaning like I come from an upper middle class family, and they are able to obviously be able to support me, and I'm able to have a home to stay in, but there's many individuals who do not have that. I've done a lot of social work with the indigent population, in particular in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of also low-income individuals as well that fit under this category of, you know, folks who may either be, there may be folks who are indigent, like, after that they had began their college career. And mind you, when it comes to college, you're going into it for a career. It's not necessarily just passion-based or passion-driven.
Right.
I'm an electrician, but it's not like I necessarily was choosing to go into that because it's something that I've always wanted to do since I was born, but more or less based out of necessity.
Gerald, may I ask you, are you saying that even as a new electrician, are you saying you're competing with unpaid interns in that field?
Well, the thing is, I'm being paid right now. I'm doing this to acquire on-the-job hours. I'm still technically in school up until at least tomorrow when everyone receives their certificates. I'm not going to be able to walk because, I can't. I got work. But there, when it comes to the unpaid internships, mind you, you have to think about it as stated from the previous caller who mentioned that, they had mentioned that most of these people who are involved in these unpaid internships, are probably also not only just going to the school to receive their education, but they're also working a second job. And the thing is, with this unpaid internship, I mean, if you think about it, those people who have those unpaid, they have to have a job while they're going to school. They're probably going to end up having to maintain those jobs while they're still doing the unpaid internship because there's absolutely no guarantee whether or not they're going to lose their job. There is a lack of job security when it comes to that. But when you also look at it on another angle as well, and I'm not saying that it's not beneficial, like, yes, this is absolutely beneficial for many, many citizens in this country. I mean, there's a bunch of people that need jobs and that are struggling. But at the same time, those people who have to work a job while doing this unpaid internship because of the fact that they know they're going to lose that, this is still technically considered training.
It's a heavy carry. Gerald, our time grows short. I think we got the gist of it right there, and I really appreciate your call. I wish you good luck with that. I want to get one more in here while we have time, if I may. Vincent in Detroit. Vincent, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
My comment is I think that the model needs to change to a stackable certification model that allows you to benchmark yourself along the way so you could build certifications towards your degree and allow you to work during this time. I'm a later starter to college.
Okay.
So I'm 30 years old. I won't get my degree for another year and a half, bachelor's in business administration. Yep. I worked in the culinary industry for 15 years. So I got training from I started off as a gold-collar worker, so I started with a better income than having no skills. Mm-hmm. And I've refined these skills. And what I'm finding is having been in the workforce before going to college, it has improved my outcome. It's going to improve my outcome.
Vincent, when you say stackable certification, you mean you want to get credit along the way as you accumulate credits that would bolster your career?
I think it would because I could present something.
Yeah.
That was meaningful to the employer. So if I could pick a short-term certificate that would apply those credits toward a degree.
Yeah. No, I like that. Well, you're breaking up on us, but I like the idea. Phil, how about it? Not everybody can go off for 4 years and do it all in one stretch.
No, I think you're going to see this variations on variations. We're already seeing this. You know, I think we've made it clear that some of the employers aren't looking for just specifically any major and degree, and they're looking for combinations of skill sets. So you dealt breadth, but you can get depth in an expertise area by taking 3 or 4 or 5 classes. Colleges aren't always set up to do that, and what we're seeing is efforts, and that's what these certificates are, is to provide this expertise on a software, programming language, or something,
and begin to stack these together as
you work, and then you advance and work, and you advance towards a degree. It doesn't look like the traditional thing that maybe you and I walked into as undergraduates, where you have this 4-year experience and all this stuff, but it still is a way to progress in an affordable way towards a degree. I think you're going to see a lot of variations on this. We're practicing, we're trying things all over the world on trying to improve this transition from, and meet these huge needs that both the last two people have talked about. I've worked in the workplace. I want to go back to college. I need to get that degree to advance now. I've had these experiences. How do I leverage those experiences in an academic setting so I can accelerate my time to the degree? And at the same time, don't put myself in a situation where I've got to earn these unpaid credits, for an internship, and then have to work to support my family and try to get to school. It's just going to overwhelm a lot of people. There's more stories like that everywhere, and we just don't take time to hear individual stories in higher ed as much as should. And Jeff sat and listened to a lot of students, but a lot of us don't listen to those stories. The educational experience would be a lot different if we listened to some of these stories.
Well, it's good to listen. We're listening right here. I mean, there's geography we didn't even get to. I'm looking at rankings of places that have the most entry-level job listings that require a college degree, along with local housing that's affordable for young adults. Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Kansas City, Minneapolis, Columbus, Ohio. Maybe Motion is part of this as well. Renella Reed at Rutgers, it's been great to have you with us today. We thank you so much for joining us, ma'am.
Well, thank you.
Jeff Salingo, author of There Is Life After College. Thank you for joining us today, Jeff.
It was great to be here.
And Phil Gardner at Michigan State University's College Labor Market Study. Thanks so much for joining us, Phil.
Thanks, Tom. It's always a pleasure.
Class of 2016, good luck to you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.